forward. Brother Garrison has chosen hymn number 227 to open with. Hymn number 227. Brother Harry Wildblood to ask the blessing on Brother Garrison's service. Brother Harry.
Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name, and hallowed be the name of thy dear Son, our Redeemer. Dear Father, we give thee thanks for the opportunity for the lessons that are about to be shared. We ask a blessing on our dear Brother Lewis as he shares these wonderful lessons as you have led him. We look forward to the time in the world where the sighing and crying is past. And we pray for the blessing of all the families of the earth to come in due time. And it's through Jesus' most precious name we pray.
Thank you, Brother Wildbud. Brother Garrison has chosen for the topic of his talk, Heroes and Heroines of Faith. May the Lord bless your service, Brother Lou.
Thank you, Brother Don, and your brethren. We're glad to be here and praise the Heavenly Father for his watch care over us. And this past couple of weeks, we've really been sick and we've just been recovering. So it's I hope our voice holds out. But we appreciated Brother Kirkham's rendition of the history of North Seattle. And I remember, I believe it was 40 years ago, that we attended our first convention. And it was the first convention that the North Seattle class had at that time. So we appreciate that and appreciate the history and the faith that the brethren have displayed throughout the years and maintaining the faith of our fathers and the true Word of God. Considering the theme of this convention in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for examples or types, pictures, symbols. And they are written for our admonition, for our admonition, your admonition, dear brethren, upon whom the ends of the age or world are come. Well, we thought it would be in order to think on the prophets and patriarchs as Brother Lawrence brought to our attention in the beginning of his address. The ancient worthies of old, as given in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, for the experiences they underwent, were examples of faith. Faith which we must attain to gain our prize of the high calling in Christ. For these examples of faith are especially necessary for our instruction and learning at the end of this gospel age. Let's go to Hebrews 11, 1. We'll be going through the whole chapter, so bear with us. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now the pastor gives us an illustration of belief like water. Well, you can't walk upon water successfully, for it has no foundation. However, when it's frozen, when our beliefs are crystallized by faith, they then create a foundation which can be walked on. Faith is a groundwork or basis of our hopes. It is the substance which our minds grasp and grow in the knowledge of God and of His plans and purposes and in His promises. The world at this time lives without hope, as we once were, as expressed in Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ, we have the privilege and the hope of being made nigh within reach of divine favors, blessings, and promises through faith in Christ and in the gift of His Holy Spirit. Through faith, the elders of or ancient worthies received a good report, a testimony that they pleased God. Were they commended by God for their good works? No. It was their faith. Although their faith was demonstrated by their works. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And in James 2:17, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. Here we understand that through faith in His word, the universe was miraculously created by God at the utterance of His voice. Further, it was created from things that are invisible to us. In Psalm 33, 6 through 9, we read, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And you recall, of course, in Psalm 19, 1 through 3, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now as we look at the universe and see into its vast depth, which astronomers guess at being now 15 billion years old, seeing the beauty and harmony it displays night after night, yet it takes faith to conclude its maker being the Heavenly Father. Many term Him the first cause. Now, as the Apostle explains that faith is needed to understand that the universe was created by the Heavenly Father of things unseen, He is now going to bring to our mind a galaxy of faith heroes and heroines of the past ages who displayed in their conduct and character rich faith in the Heavenly Father, a faith which He abundantly rewards. These are given to us as examples to encourage and increase our faith in our daily walk in the footsteps of His Son. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Well, you know the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4:1 through 15, how the Cain was a farmer of grain and Abel a keeper of flocks, and both made offerings to the Lord of the first fruits of their labor. Abel's offering of a lamb was pleasing to the Lord, whereas Cain's was not. Out of jealousy, Cain slew Abel and was subsequently outcast of the Lord. Abel's offering was accepted because it pictured or typified the necessity of the death of a Redeemer as a sacrifice for sins. Abel's faith was strong, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He was the first called righteous among those faithful patriarchs whose blood cried out in retribution on the Jewish nation in A.D. 69 with the destruction of their polity. In Matthew 23:35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Abel died for his devotion to the Lord, and so too this has been the case of many of our brethren. Their lives spoke volumes upon their death for their devotion to the Heavenly Father and to His principles of righteousness. Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For he, before his translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. Enoch is accounted for us in Genesis 5:20-24. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. He did not walk in the ways of the world, but was upright and righteous, in harmony with the divine will. Now remember, this was a time when the fallen angels were prevalent in the earth, creating all kinds of havoc and evil for the fallen race. Enoch pleased God and prophesied of the overthrow of sin and evil and the setting up of a righteous kingdom by the hand of Messiah. For we read of that in Jude 14:15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. As Enoch by his faith knew this in his heart, for we must daily set our affections on things above and have a living faith in his kingdom and righteousness it will bring to all the families of the earth. Colossians 3:1-3. For if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on the things of the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here is a vital importance of faith. All who approach God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we didn't have this before our minds, a belief in God and his reward of faith through Christ, what would be our incentive to sacrifice and deny ourselves? In 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life we have hope, only hope in Christ, that is, if we only believed his existence as a man and was not raised from the dead, we are of most all men most miserable. We must have a faith in his promise of a future kingdom and his promise of a grand reward to those who faithfully follow in the footsteps of his son. Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Well, the account of Noah is given in Genesis 6:14-22. Now Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. In other words, he wasn't perfect as a man, but he was of pure stock. And Noah walked with God. Noah's faith was demonstrated in his obedience in building an ark, something which had never been done before, something which would receive the ridicule of those around him, for none had seen rain at that time, for the earth was watered with a mist. In Genesis 2:6. This construction went on for 120 years. Yet despite the constant haranguing of those around him, Noah had the faith to continue the building and to close up his family within the ark before the rain. And by thus doing, he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. God recognized Noah and others of similar faith to be separate and distinct from the world. But yet Noah's faith was tested by works of obedience. 1 Peter 1:5-10. Who are kept by the power of God. Do you realize that you too are kept by the power of God? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, or trials. But the trial of your faith be much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Yes, your faith will be tested. But remember, there is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will direct the issue so that the trials of life will not consume us as new creatures, but merely consume the dross of our character. Hebrews 11:8-10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The account of the faithfulness of Abraham is given in in Genesis 12, 1 through 7, and Genesis 22. Abraham is the father of the faithful. To him were given many great and precious promises, not only to his natural seed, but to his spiritual seed, the heirs of promise. In Galatians 3, 6 through 9, we read, "Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are of the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they are which are the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Yes, a divine revelation was given to Abraham, and he declared by the Apostle Paul it was a gospel of good tidings that was told unto Abraham, that through his seed all families of the earth would be blessed. What a promise for his faithfulness. His faith was tested first by his obedience to leave his home in the Ur of the Chaldees and wander at God's will through the land of the promise his entire life. And as Stephen tells us in Acts 7:5, he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. The promise was that he would give the land at a later date to his posterity for possession forever. More than this, the promise made to Abraham was that by and through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. In Romans 4, 20-24, we read that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being thoroughly persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. How was his great faith demonstrated? Abraham had not as yet had a seed. His wife, Sarah, exceeded the childbearing age, being 90 years of age, Abraham being 100, had faith that God would fulfill his promise in Hebrews 11 and 12. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was of past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there up even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of sky in multitude, and as the sand of the sea, which is by the sea, shore and innumerable. Our account of Sarah is found in Genesis 17, 19, 18, 11 through 14, and 21, 1 through 5. Even though Sarah's faith at times wavered, such as when she laughed within herself, seeing that she was too old to have a child, yet she had a compelling faith to believe in God and in his promise of a seed. She judged him faithful who had promised. She was accounted worthy to be of this class of faithful servants, one of the ancient worthies. Skipping down for a moment to verses 17 and 19 of Hebrews 11, we read, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure." Well, after the seed Isaac was born, Abraham's faith was severely tested, for it was a sacrifice of his son that was requested, the child of promise. Yet his faith was so firm that if he did this deed, he accounted that God would absolutely fulfill his promise, even if it meant that he would raise Isaac from the dead. His faith was rewarded, and even though he did not slay his son, he received him in a figure or as a picture, prefiguring the offering of Jehovah's son, the seed of Abraham, who would inherit the promise of the blessing of all the families of the earth. Abraham dwelt in the land of promise, dwelling in tents. Yet he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. It was not a literal city he looked for, but a city or a government based on righteousness, an everlasting kingdom. By faith he looked down the stream of time to see Messiah and the blessing of all the families of the earth through that kingdom. John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and he was glad. We too, by faith, rejoice to see the Lord's day. Yet we are privileged to see it much more clearly than Abraham. We see that the seed not only includes our risen Lord, but also includes his footstep followers, those who by faith have made a covenant of sacrifice to be dead with him, to be part of that seed of promise. In Galatians 3, we read that, know ye not, therefore, that they which are of the faith are the same as the children of Abraham. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and they and thy seed, which is Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. We also see with the completion of the seed of promise the new Jerusalem, a new heavens and a new earth, which will come down from God to wipe away all tears, end all Adamic death, end all sorrow, for the former things will pass away. Beautiful promise in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. We see also the ancient worthies whose faith earned them the privilege of helping as earthly channels of blessing to Israel and all the families of the earth. Hebrews 11:13-16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they say, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which whence they came not out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. All these ancient worthies died in faith, faithful to the end of their lives. Yet they did not see the fulfillment of the promise, neither the promise of the land nor the blessing of the seed. They saw them fulfilled afar off, beyond the present life. They were persuaded by their faith that these promises would be fulfilled. They were separated and viewed as pilgrims and strangers with no continuing city, but looking for one to come, a better country, under a righteous administration, under a reign of the heavenly direction. Do we not see and seek the same? Are we considered pilgrims and strangers in the world, but not of it? Do we not seek the kingdom of righteousness to solve all man's problems and bring health and happiness to the earth, especially in these days? Hebrews 13:13-14, we read that, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Continuing on in Hebrews 11:20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Isaac's faith was demonstrated in his acquiescence to the wishes of Abraham upon the altar to be as he could have easily overcome a man of old age. But his faith was also demonstrated in his faith in the promise given to Abraham and passed down to him in a subsequent blessing of his sons, Jacob and Esau. He had full faith that this promise would pass to his seed, Jacob, and that though he did not receive the chief blessing, Esau would also receive a blessing of promise. Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons, sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob demonstrated his faith in many ways. First, in his appreciation of the promise, and being younger than Esau, gained the birthright for a mess of pottage, and through the help of his mother, Rebekah, received the chief blessings of the promise. He then passed on to the sons of Joseph a blessing of possession of the land and a double portion above all of Joseph's brethren. Yet it was Judah who received the chief blessing, that being, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. So too, we must have the faith that the Lord's word will not return unto him void, Isaiah 55:11, but will accomplish that unto where he sends it. Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. This commandment was related to his brothers. In Genesis 50:25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. Well, tomorrow we will consider the depth of the life of Joseph. For now we will remember the faith he had, being sold into slavery in Egypt, forsaken by his brothers, and yet we read in Genesis 39:2, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was with him for his faithfulness to principles when thrown into prison, being falsely accused. He was with him throughout his stay and experiences, for again we read in the 21st verse of chapter 39, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. His faith was also shown in the interpretation of the various dreams of the butler and baker, and 2 years later of that of Pharaoh, knowing that the interpretation came from God and not from himself. He had faith that he would be reunited with his father and brothers after 20 years of separation. His great faith was reaffirmed at his death when he made the children of Israel take his bones from Egypt and bury them in the promised land. In Genesis 50:24-26, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you up out of this land, the land which he swore unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. He had faith of not only his deliverance from Egypt, but by the fact of their deliverance from Egypt, by the fact that he wished his bones to be brought out, testifies to the fact that his faith was such that he knew that he would have a resurrection and that he would participate in the blessings that would come to Israel through the Messiah. So too our faith must sustain us throughout our lifetime, through trials and experiences, realizing that the Lord is with us always if we retain our faith in him, that is able to deliver us out of all these experiences. And behold, I am with thee, I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Genesis 20:15. And he shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. Job 5:19. And this faith must last us until our dying breath. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Hebrews 11:23-29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were drowned. Moses' experience recounted here in to us in Exodus 2:2-11, his childhood in Exodus 12:21-50, the Passover, that was the Passover, and the deliverance of the nation through the Red Sea in Exodus 14:23-29. Moses' faith was testified to us in many ways, but perhaps the most significant was his rejection of the throne of Egypt. He chose rather to suffer affliction than to rule and dwell in luxury. He chose to dwell with the people of Israel and to esteem the reproaches of Christ, in the sense that through this nation of Israel would come the promised Messiah, Christ. Faith marks every step of Moses' life and his service and favor, for he endured as seeing one who was invisible. Moses' endurance of his trials and testings was only possible with the eye of faith. He was enlightened and would discern invisible things not seen, in that the Lord gave him a direct revelation of things to come, in that he prophesied of a greater mediator than himself, Christ. In Acts 3:22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And so we too suffer affliction with Christ, if we would reign with him. In Romans 8:17-18, have children heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We must reject the enticements of the world and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Our hopes, desires, and aims in life gravitate toward the spiritual and unseen things, those glorious prospects before us, as Moses saw, while our human life and hopes die. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Seeing the glorious future held out for not only us, but for all mankind, this should stimulate our faith to keep us steadfast. Hebrews 3:14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. It was through faith that Moses instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Yet not knowing its significance, he kept his performance to the letter. Can you imagine the faith it took to come to the border of the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army in pursuit, and yet knowing that the Lord would provide deliverance? Listen to his words reflected from his faith in Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let us, like Moses, hold fast our faith in the divine promises most precious to us, and continue to walk by faith, not by sight, until our change come. Hebrews 11:30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were encompassed about 7 days. You'll recall that Joshua, along with Caleb and others, were sent out to spy the land of Canaan. A little over a year after coming out of Egypt, being full of faith, Joshua brought back a good report of the land full of milk and honey. He, along with Caleb, told the people of Israel in Numbers 14:8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. But their report was rejected. And because of Israel's unfaithfulness, they were destined to wander for 39 more years. And none save Joshua and Caleb, of the men of Israel of 20 years and older, were allowed to enter the land of promise. All died in the wilderness. For his faithfulness, Joshua was favored the Lord to lead Israel into the promised land. And here are the words of our Heavenly Father in Joshua 1:5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It was through his faith and leadership that the Lord delivered Jericho under the hands of Israel. We read that in Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted when the priests blew their trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up to the city, and every man straight before him, and they took the city. So with us, we must have full confidence that what the Lord says, he will do, even to the breaking down of the walls of Jericho, picturing the utter destruction of sin and error. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies of peace. Rahab's faith is given to us in the second chapter of Joshua. She saved the life of two spies sent out of Israel to spy on Jericho. And she said in Joshua 2:9-11, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that they were on the other side, Jordan, Sidon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. In the saving of the two spies, she saved her family and is recognized as an ancient worthy. Yet one would say, well, she was a harlot. Well, true enough. Yet it was her faith that saved her. Many of us were unsavory characters when we first responded to the Lord's call. Yet we should be encouraged, for we know that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hebrews 11:32-38. And what shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Well, here Paul gives us a brief and partial roll call of faith's heroes and heroines. Gideon, whose band of 300, facing the Midianites, numbered like grasshoppers for multitude, did not fail in his fight. His faith was confidence in the defeat of the enemy when they blew their trumpets, broke their pitchers, held their lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Judges 7:20-21. Barak's faith is told in the fourth chapter of Judges. At the command of the Lord, through Deborah, a prophetess, he fought Sisera, a Canaanite king, who had oppressed Israel for 20 years. Outnumbered, yet by faith, knowing that the Lord had delivered Sisera into thy hand, he fought for the Lord, and Israel defeated the enemy to the last man. Samson's faith is recounted in the 16th chapter of Judges. He had great strength. However, his strength was discovered by Delilah to be the length of his hair. Cut by her order when he was sleeping, the Philistines put out his eyes, and then to make fun of him, he placed him between pillars of the temple of Dagon in celebration of the capture of Samson. Well, at this time his hair had grown, and the Lord returned his strength, and the fall of the temple was a great killing more than in his lifetime. In Judges 16:28, we read that Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee, only this once, O Lord, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Jephthah, in the 11th chapter of Judges, was another of the judges of Israel, of ignoble birth, the son of a harlot, but a mighty man of valor, raised up to fight and subdue the land for Israel from the king of Ammon. It was through his faith and confidence in the Lord that this was possible. He also demonstrated his strength of character in not going back on his vow to the Lord to dedicate his daughter solely to the Lord's service. Daniel, whose faith was rewarded in the stopping the mouths of the lions, Daniel 6:22. Daniel's life was one of faith, entire faith to God through adversity and blessing, faithful to the end. David was a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect in his life? No. He had, as we, his failings. Yet his faith sustained him so much so that the Lord promised a future everlasting kingdom. We read of that in 2 Samuel 7:12-13. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Jeremiah, a prophet of the Lord, tortured and persecuted by his faith, he boldly declared the word of the Lord, which foretold trouble on Israel for its idolatry. This is a picture of the faithful members of the body of Christ, you dear brethren, who declare the whole counsel of God. We read of that in Acts 20 and 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Elijah raised the dead to life. Elisha did the same. Zechariah was stoned for his rebuke of idolatry. Isaiah was sawn asunder. They wandered about in deserts and mountains, destitute, afflicted, tormented, living in dens and caves of whom the world was not worthy. Hebrews 11:39-40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Yes, these all received a good report, or a superlative witness to their faith. Yet they received not the promise, the blessings of the Abrahamic promise. Nor did they receive the chief blessing of the promise of being of the spiritual seed. For they, these ancient worthies, without us, who are of the spiritual seed of promise, should not be made perfect. Yes, dear brethren, we have this wonderful witness of faith of these ancient worthies to strengthen our faith so that we can continue in our race to make our calling and election sure, so that we can be of that class, of that spiritual seed, to bring these ancient worthies back to perfection to bless all the families of the earth. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we have also, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Run, dear brethren, faithful. May the Lord overrule anything set amiss and add his blessing.
Brother Lou has selected as his hymn in closing, hymn number 197. Brother Lou, would you dismiss us from this meeting, please?
Our gracious, all-wise Heavenly Father, we do humbly come to Thee in the precious name of Thy dear Son. Dear Father, we do thank Thee for the privilege of being here and to study Thy Word and to recognize that these faithful prophets of old were given to us for an example, a type, and the sacrifice that they and Thou hast made through the gift of Thy Son and through all these prophets and patriarchs. We do thank Thee. Please be with us. Increase our faith, dear Lord, and we do pray Thy continued guidance and direction the remainder of this convention. We do pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.